Everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all, up here in Canada, and of course, down in the U.S. Don't know what holiday it is down there, but I believe it is a holiday. Hopefully, you're all enjoying yourself and having a good time. What is it?
Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
Yeah.
So,
federal holiday.
Okay, so now he proved that the Earth was round, right? Isn't that what Columbus did?
I mean, he found the United States.
No, he also proved that the world is round. It was Columbus that sailed all the way around, right?
I don't know.
You didn't pay attention in history class, did you?
No.
Well, as long as you studied up on your racing, because that's what you're going to need tonight on this
show. That's
all
I focused on in school.
Yeah.
Drawing pictures of race cars.
Yeah. When you should have been doing math and stuff.
You should have.
Well, you still got your grade 12, though.
I mean, yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. We got through to the end.
I'm Joe Chisholm.
Wasn't with honors or anything.
No. But you did it.
That's right.
I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio studio. Welcome aboard, everybody. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. First of all, let me tell you who we got coming on the show. And it's a star-studded lineup, I might add. How about it? Alex Labbe in that Can-Am Chevrolet for DGM goes out and not only did he get a top five finish, coming home fourth on the Roval yesterday in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, but he also got DGM their best finish so far in NASCAR Xfinity competition. How about that, Junior? That's tough to do, and like I've said forever on this program, these guys keep coming along, and they keep getting a little bit better all the time, and Alex Labbe proves it once again.
Yeah, I mean... Yesterday, you had to know how to race in the rain. That's the number That's the number one thing. You had to know, you know, what to do in the rain, and you know it. Alex Labbe has done it a bunch of times now in the NASCAR Penske Series, you know, as well the NASCAR Xfinity Series has done it, you know, a handful of times. So when you look at the results, you can kind of overcome, you know, what you are lacking in the vehicle department when you can wheel a race car in the rain.
That's right.
And, you know, it kind of evens the playing field a little bit, a lot. I mean, you don't want a whole lot of motor when it's raining like that.
You want a whole load of talent.
You want a whole load of talent behind the wheel. And it shows, you know, anybody who can race in the rain, you know, and race for wins in the rain. They hold a special place in the wheel holder book.
Now, did he not? I want to say that Alex Labbe had a sixth place finish last year on the Roval.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So he upped it by two spots this
year.
Yeah,
definitely.
Topped it.
You know, when you look at the conditions yesterday and, you know, it seemed he didn't luck into a fourth place finish by any stretch. He ran right up front the entire day. It's a completely different way of racing, really, when you look at it. When you're racing in that top cycle, you know, versus the back half of the field, you know, when you're used to racing back there, there's you race a lot differently. You know, it goes to show, you know, the dedication and the preparation that they put into it. They obviously had, you know, some real good stuff in the car to keep the fog down and to keep the windscreen, you know, visible.
Mm.
You know, that all takes preparation going into it.
Sure does.
You know, you know, good on them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to talk to Alex and go back through the race because what a demolition derby that was. Man, did they wreck some stuff.
Well, you're not going to have to wait much longer. I know he is our first guest. We're going to have him up here just in moments. Also coming up on tonight's show, got to tell you, Canada's got to be proud, got to be excited for absolutely everything that's happening down south right now for the Canadian drivers. Caden Lapcevich, our NASCAR Pinty Series champion up here a couple of years ago. Caden, of course, down south, concentrating on late model competition down there, doing a whale of a job in that 16 car, goes out Friday, gets the pole for the Winchester 400. Today was the race. Carson Hocevar wins the race, but I'll tell you what, Caden Lapcevich did a masterful job. He brought that 16 car home in one piece in seventh spot. We're going to catch up with Caden tonight on the show. We're going to go off to Canada's East Coast, and I mean way out to the Rock. Eastbound International Speedway has crowned their late model champion. Reduced season this year, it was Jason Groves, driver of the number 74, picking up his second title at Eastbound International Speedway. Not only the win in the 150 yesterday, but also the championship. Jason Groves going to join us here tonight live. And then we're going to jump on that boat, come across the pond, and we're going to pull in right at St. John, not St. John's, but St. John, New Brunswick. And we're going to catch up tonight with Sydney Speedway Street Stock winner. We got Michael Cormier going to join the show. He went to Victory Lane on Saturday at Sydney Speedway. Looking forward to catching up with Michael tonight. We have that, all of those guests, and a lot more coming up tonight. Got some stuff from Center of Speed that we're going to talk about. Won't have guests on, I don't believe, tonight, but we will give you an update on how things went there just a week ago, and we will have guests on in the future. But we got lots to talk about tonight. Let's get to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in driver of the number 36, Can-Am Chevrolet for DGM. It is our Alex Labbé. How you doing tonight, Alex? Great job behind the wheel of that 36, man.
Hey, thanks. Doing pretty good.
Good, man. Wow, what a race yesterday. Now, wet doesn't even describe the conditions. Man, you guys were running that race in just about a hurricane at the end of that bump.
Ah, for sure. It was pretty intense the entire race. Like at the start, whenever it started raining, it poured pretty good and it calmed down a little bit. But like you said, near the end of the race, it was pouring pretty hard and visibility was awful, and had a little bit of problem with my visibility in the start of the race. It was I got water in the car and started fucking the windshield and quite a bit, and it was a handful. For sure, track was really, really slick, but there was puddles everywhere. The seams were really slick, and it was the biggest challenge of my career. I think like the most challenging race of my career. It was every corner, every lap was a challenge there.
That's a bold statement, and sure. That it goes to show like how crazy it is, right? That is a very bold statement to say that was the most trying race of your career, and that's awesome to hear, because I think that the fans need to hear that, you know. And through the broadcast yesterday, you know, they obviously talked about the challenges that the drivers were going through, but I wouldn't have guessed that it would have been your most challenging race just from the outside. That's what. Yep. You know, armchair quarterbacking is like.
Well, Alex, one thing that I was thinking watching the race, especially late in the race, of course, darkness was coming into play. It was getting darker. The rain was coming down. You're dealing with a restart. And I'm thinking the glare. And I know when I'm driving in the rain now, you know, driving down the 401 or driving down the highway, it's a real challenge when you get the glare with the rain. Was the glare a problem as well inside that car?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the more it went, the more difficult it got, especially for vision, because they're near the end of the race. Even, especially, I think it was corner 3 and 4. Whenever we got in front of that big screen in the back stretch, you had the big light in front of you, and I mean, we could barely see. Like whenever on the last restart, when Chase Briscoe spun out of corner one, it was I could barely see him. We were relying a lot on our spotters, and that's why I couldn't. Like, I really wanted to attack. I mean, we had the speed to win or to be in the top three, but I mean, I had to contend uh, content myself with a P4 because I didn't want to go too hard and risk too much because I mean, like I said, the division was terrible and there was puddles everywhere and we spun like with 15 or 18 ago, I think, and it didn't feel like I did anything different from the lap before. It just track was so edgy and it was pretty hard to find a limit. So I was, like I said earlier, it was definitely the most challenging race. I didn't race a lot of races like completely under wet condition. I mean, we raced on cross courts one time and it was probably half the race under rain and a couple other places, but it just felt like it was more even grip all the way around the track. But this place, it was all different. Every corner was different. Some places there was patches where there was no grip, or other places there was paint on the track where, I mean, you really had to be careful and to learn all the obstacles on the track, and that's what made it really tough, especially when the vision was as bad as it was yesterday.
Alex, you touch on a very interesting point, and obviously, you know, it's no secret to any fan or to anybody in the industry. DGM is a small team. Right. And you guys have to manage your resources every step of the way. And you bring up a really interesting point that, you know, you had to settle for P4. You might have had the speed to attack, to get up there, to drive up to P1 and go get the win. But you would have had to take a greater risk, you know, numerous times in order to do that. And I want to know what the management cycle is like for you behind the wheel, knowing that, you know, a P4 is a massive win for the team, or you know, it is just like a win, but it's not. How much management, you know, goes into that behind the wheel? How often are you thinking, you know, if I push a little bit deeper here, I might be able to gain some speed, but if I push a little bit deeper, I got a chance to knock the nose off the thing. How much of that is going through and, you know, kind of break it out lap by lap for us on, you know, what it's like to manage the business side? Because, you know, there's no secret, the top 20 in the field can just go wreck their car and walk away from it and not think twice because there's another one sitting right behind it and there's another one sitting behind that. So how much of it is management? How much of it is aggression in order to get up there?
No, for sure. I mean, I don't think it was, I mean, for sure, I don't want to wreck a car for nothing, but I think like this weekend especially, it was last road course race, and I mean, we were going for it for sure, and we had the speed with the wind, so, I mean, I know whatever I did, Mario and my team were going to be behind my back, because I was going to give it a shot to get the win, but at the same time, I mean, we had a really strong day. We finished third in both stages, and we were there in the top five, and I mean, first lap, I was right behind. It was Daniel Hemric in the 8, and I felt like I could put pressure on it. But at one point, I hit a puddle, and I almost wrecked the car. So I don't know. I just felt like it was smarter, and it was just I just wanted to manage my stuff a little better and be sure to be there at the end because the like I said, the conditions were so tough. I've never experienced that before, especially with the sun setting down, and it was really dark, and the middle part of the track, the infield part, there was no light. There was not a lot of light. There was a couple of lights here and there. So that's what made it difficult. But I think it's more about general aspects. It's just, I just felt like we had such a good day, such a strong run all day. I just didn't feel like he was going to be smart to try to overdrive and go for the win. And risk all the things we did all day and lose a good finish because I mean it was a really good strong day for us. It's just that it's the roll and we know every year whenever we go there we start the year and we circle that date on our calendar and we know we're gonna have a strong run there. So to be there sitting P5 on the last restart, you think about a lot of stuff. You want to go there and give it a shot for the win, but at the same time, I mean, I think it was the smartest thing to do for us just to settle and keep and try to be smart because there was a lot of obstacles on the track there.
If you just tuned into Race Time Radio, no problem. You're not too far behind here. Just by, we're not even going to put your lap down yet. We are with Alex Labbe. He drives the number 36 Can-Am Chevrolet for DGM in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Now, for those listeners that may not follow Xfinity all the time, Alex is from Quebec. He is one of our champions up here, cut his teeth right here in Canada, and has gone down to the U.S., hooked up with Mario Gosselin and DGM, and for the last few years, these guys have been chipping away and actually making headway. And, you know, if you're not, I don't know, watching all the time like we are here in, at Racetime Radio, if you're a casual fan and you turn on the race, you may not, they don't do a real good job of covering the Canadians, I got to say that. But in the same respect, Alex has been getting more TV time as things go along here because the results are coming up. He comes off a fourth-place finish on the Roval at Charlotte just yesterday. And I'll tell you what, Alex has really been doing a good job. Alex, Can-Am came on board with you just a couple of weeks ago. I believe you still got, what, one or two races left with them. What's the response been from Can-Am? They got to be excited. They were with you before, and you had good results. But, man, you've got better results now than when you had Can-Am before. They got to be loving what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. They've still got Kansas next week with us, but my response has been really good. I mean, I'm really happy with the relation we got together. I'm in contact with a lot of people at Can-Am and BRP every week, and they're really liking what we're achieving and what we're doing. So I think it's looking pretty good, and we're trying to build something, trying to work something for the future also. So it's a really good boost for us, especially when it came in there late in the season. It was we were at a point where we were wondering if we were still going for points or what we were going to do, and I got that phone call from them that they wanted to help us to pursue to keep going for the point. So it was a really good, really big break, and I'm really happy to have them on board. And like you said, it's a pretty special relation because they've helped me to start. They've helped me put my name up there, because before we were together, I had never run a full Pinty series season, and that's when I started running full time. Whenever they jumped on board, and they were my major sponsor for 2016, and then we won the championship together in the NASCAR Pinty Series in 2017. So it's a pretty special relation. I'm really happy that they came back on board this year, and I hope that we can build something for the future together.
Career best finish for you in NASCAR Xfinity Racing. You come home with a fourth place finish. But not only that, this was a career best finish for DGM as a race team as well. You also had two other teammates with you. Josh Williams, we love him, driver of the number 92. And I'm sorry, but I can't remember who was in the third car for you as yesterday. But, you know, we've seen Dexter Bean in that car. We've seen different drivers in the third car. What was it like, the feeling for Mario and all the team guys? They got to be just as excited as you when you get results like this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody was really pumped up for first top five for the team. So, no, it was a pretty good day. I mean, everybody was pretty soaked yesterday. Everybody on pit road. I mean, we kind of celebrated a little bit, but at the same time, we were pretty anxious to go back to the hotel and get changed because it was a pretty wet day. But now everybody was pretty pumped up. It was a pretty good feeling. I really expected that we were going to have a solid weekend. But I mean, at the same time, to get that solid of a day with so much points and stages and a really good end result, I think we've overachieved a little bit from our expectations for sure.
Awesome job. Now, listen, we love our Quebec listeners. Of course, we only appeal to the English Quebec listeners because, let's face it, we don't speak French on this channel, on this show. We'd love to be able to do that, but I quite truthfully am not smart enough to do any kind of bilingual stuff. But can I get you to do me a favor for all of our Quebec listeners that are French? We love them, and I know you do. Can you do me a favor? just recap your day and talk to them for a minute and let them know in French. And then I want one more question I got to ask you before we cut you loose. But can you do that for our Quebec listeners?
Yeah, you just want me to recap my day from yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to them.
Yep, them four. Ouais, dans le fond, hier, on a eu une très bonne journée avec notre voiture Can-Am 36. Quand on est parti de la course en 16e position, on a remonté ça dans le 36 assez rapidement, surtout quand la pluie s'est mise à tomber. On a monté en avant du peloton, on a fini nos deux stages en 3e position. J'ai fait une petite erreur dans le dernier segment qui nous j'ai accroché les pneus. Après ça, il a pu arrêter au puits, puis on est reparti plus loin en arrière, encore à 22e position, puis on a remonté finir à la 4e position. Donc, c'est une journée assez solide pour tout le monde, pour nous autres aussi. Puis, un gros merci à tout le monde qui nous supporte, du gros support de vous les Québécois en arrière de moi. Donc, c'est vraiment le fun de voir ça, surtout après la course hier, juste de voir la réponse de tout le monde sur les réseaux sociaux. C'était un peu chaud au cœur.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey,
I wanted to do
100%.
That for our Quebec listeners, because you know what? They don't get, we don't really cater to the French-speaking Canadians, and I feel bad about that, but it's kind of cool when we get, stars on like you that are able to talk to them. And you know what? Everybody, we're Canadian, and we are so proud of what you guys are doing down there. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, it's really interesting that the Quebec race fan is by far the most ravenous race fan in Canada.
Absolutely.
And right now, you know, you look at the talent that comes out of Quebec. Obviously, you know, you go back through the years, Patrick Carpentier and Jacques Villeneuve and, you know, all of the names that come from there. Alex Tagliani falls in there. Alex Labbé now falls in there. But the greatness that comes from Quebec is driven directly through that passion for motorsports. And, I've spotted for a French driver for a number of years, and I'm the same way. I do not know any. Of course, we're from Ontario, but I don't know any French other than a few select words, usually curse words. Alex, it is so cool to see what you're doing. Hats off to you guys. And celebrate this one. Obviously, you guys are going to have to crack a couple beers and celebrate it. It was a good one.
You bet. Alex, I got one final question for you, my friend. Thoughts heading into your next race now. You go back onto the oval. What's your thoughts heading into this next one?
My first time I got two top tens.
Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up there.
In and out. You're going to have to start over. Sorry, Alex, you were breaking up. Start again. Thoughts heading into the next race?
Like I said, we're pretty pumped up for sure. I mean, it's the same time we're running the last.
Nah, it's busting up.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Sell hell.
He is traveling. So, Alex, if you can hear me, we want to thank you so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We're going to get Mario on this show, talk to him in the coming weeks, but we can't thank you enough. Congratulations on the fourth place finish. Hey, that win isn't that far away, my friend. You keep doing what you're doing. That is Alex Labbé, of course, DGM. Does a dynamite job. Too bad that he is in that cell hell, but it happens, Junior.
Oh, North Carolina. Brings back memories. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Put your hand up.
There's a reason there was a national commercial about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's North Carolina. I think that's like the main place for it.
Yeah, is that?
But, what a job by those guys.
Yes, just amazing. We got to get Mario back on the
100%.
Show. We have had Mario on. I'm thinking back in the spring we had him on. And then we don't really bother him. We try and leave him alone because he is managing three teams, preparing cars for three different Xfinity teams.
And he's not
teams.
Sitting in the front office saying that he's managing three teams.
No. That guy is hands-on.
He's working
in
the
shop. And he's got a bunch of really good guys working for him.
He does.
When we say small team, how small can they be when they're trying to run three Xfinity teams? But in the same respect, it is a small team. And they are not the Penske's. And, Junior, when you could come up and post a top five, and I'm telling you, like when these guys post a top 10, It is really something cool. You know that there are signs of progress being made. It isn't a fluke now when these guys pop off a top 10 finish. It's not a fluke. Nope. They are supposed to be in there now, and they got to be feeling the pressures of it.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at the lifespan of DGM, you know, when you look at a small team that really stands out to me in the Xfinity Series, you know, who you know, is overachieving right now is Ryan Sieg's team.
Yes,
right? Ryan Sieg's 39 team.
Yep.
You know, they struggled for a long period of time. They built, and now it wouldn't be surprised any given weekend if Ryan Sieg went out there and won a race.
Yep, yep.
And it's the same deal with DGM, kind of, you know, a similar trajectory, just a little bit behind where the Siegs were. You know, there's no doubt in the fact that if they had an influx of cash that mm-hmm. went into that team, they could be a winning team, just like the Colleg race team, you know, in a very short period of time. And, you know, it just comes down to the dollars and cents. But they also have to, you know, provide value in order to attract the dollars and cents. And
right.
That's where that P4 comes from. But I will say, I feel bad for every one of those teams. It wasn't covered enough. The radios that every one of those guys are wearing.
Yep.
Everyone that is racing is wearing one of those, you know, Motorola radios or brand X. I don't know what brand.
Right.
But the headsets, you know, when you see them wearing a shiny red headset, those are $1,100
right.
each.
And they're
soaked. They don't like water.
No, they don't.
I've burnt up a couple headsets due to spotting in the rain and, you know, just being in the element. And, you know, RE was, I think, the biggest winner of this weekend from Charlotte.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to hit a quick break when we come back. How about the pole sitter for the Winchester 400? Another Canadian. We've got Caden Lapcevich coming up on the other side. Stay with us.
This is Rick Benjamin. You're listening to Race Time Radio. From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
There we go. We are back. How about a little bit of Wheelhouse? I get so pumped up when I hear this stuff. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Off we go now back to the hotline, and let's welcome in the pole sitter for today's Winchester 400. Of course, the race is over now. Congratulations to Carson Hocevar, the winner of the race, but also in that race and setting the pole just on Friday was our number 16. It was Caden Lapcevich, and we got him on the hotline right now. Caden, what's going on? Congratulations, first of all, on the pole. That was huge, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What was that lap like now? Did you lift?
Yeah, I had to lift a little bit. You know, honestly, I felt like I left a little bit out there on my second lap, and I thought it probably could have been better, but, you know, nonetheless, it was, I thought I'd run a pretty good lap, and, you know, I honestly didn't think it was going to hold up because we went out early, and I just sort of the cards weren't in our favor, but, you know, it held up, and I was kind of surprised.
That's cool.
Was that truly the fastest half-mile track, Caden, that you've ever raced on?
I mean, yeah, it's got the banking that carries you a ton. You know, you get in there, and the banking just catches it, and it's right back to the floor. You barely live, like I said, on a qualifying run. And then when you get in the race, you use a little bit of brake, just sort of set the nose and help save some tire. But nonetheless, it was pretty fast. It was fun.
Can you race inside, outside? Could you, you know, make the move on the outside? I didn't actually watch the race. Man, I missed it. I really wanted to watch it. But I was trying to balance Thanksgiving, people coming by, getting stuff done, all of that, and I didn't get a chance to watch the race. Could you run anywhere on that track, and was it a real racy track?
Yeah, it was real racy. You know, all weekend a lot of people said, you know, got to get comfortable running the wall. You got to run the wall. And honestly, I don't know if I ran the wall once. I sort of bottom fed the whole race, just trying to stay in a clean racetrack where everybody wasn't running. It seemed to work okay. We had good pace. We just sort of messed up our strategy and got caught off guard, and then we were chasing all day. It was tough.
Now, one of the things that, you know, popped up was the leaf problem. And we're not talking about the Toronto Maple Leaf problem, but it seemed like there was a bunch of problems with guys getting leaves on the grill from the you know, falling off the trees. Was that part of the case through the middle portion of that race, Caden?
Well, I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty pathetic that they would let us go out there with how bad the track was, really, the condition wise. It was the whole backstretch was just leaves.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled tape off the grill just before I got in the car, and I still had to come in. I think it was like lap 9 or 10 on our first yellow, and clean the grill because I was overheating that early. It was pretty sad. You know, I wish they would have done a better job with that. And you know, I think our race could have gone a lot differently.
Absolutely, definitely. When you look at you know, racing in the autumn, that's part of the problem, right? Like I remember Peterborough Speedway, every morning they would have to blow the track off. And now, of course, different facility, different, you know, mentality and everything else. But when you look at you know, Winchester, it was definitely surprising. Talking to a few people, that was definitely something that you know, constructive criticism, I guess we could say moving forward.
Well, Bob Dillner, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's taking charge of that track. There's something that Bob will learn now, right?
100%. You can guarantee next year that won't be an issue.
And you know what's cool? Caden Lapcevich can actually relate to Peterborough Speedway and Autumn Colors.
Absolutely.
That didn't happen this year. But Caden, you've had success at Autumn Colors, I believe.
Yeah, it was different spending, I guess, which is Canadian Thanksgiving, not in Canada or at Peterborough Speedway. It was weird, but you know, I'm happy we got to be at a racetrack on Canadian Thanksgiving and give all the fans back home something to watch. You know, I know my Facebook and all my social media platforms went off the hook like crazy. I had the Facebook notifications and the Twitter notifications were unreal, and I couldn't believe how many people tuned in to watch and, you know, showed their support for me.
Absolutely. Well, and rightfully so, my friend. You did us proud, and you have been doing us proud for a long time down there, running, late models, pro late models, super late models. Tell us about the 16 team that you drive for. We need to know more about that team because you guys are doing a great job collectively.
Well, it's all owned by Bob Blunt, who around the Midwest is probably one of the most decorated short track racers there is. And, I've learned a lot about him, a lot from him, and he's been a huge blessing in my life and given me so many chances and opportunities, and I can't thank him enough for it. But, then it's just a couple of my buddies that want to help out and want to be a part of it. And without them, it'd be unreal, and we'd be lost without them.
Incredible. So you get into the Winchester 400, you set the pole speed, you got the pole for the race. Take us back to this morning, this afternoon, if you will. What were your thoughts heading into the race? What was the strategy heading into the race? And you come home with a seventh place finish. Nothing to be ashamed of, I might add. You had a good day. But I know the object was to go out there and win the race, especially when you're in a KBM car. You know, Kyle was pulling for you, and it was a KBM front row. Take us through the strategy and what you guys had planned and where it sort of misfired.
Well, we had wanted to take our tires a lot later in the race than what we ended up. Then when we ended up taking them, it's just we got put back early, and we had to battle a lot of adversity today. It was really tough and challenging. I don't think I've ever drove that hard for so long. I was beat, and I've spent a lot of time at race car before, but it was so physically demanding and hard on my body. I was feeling it.
Really? That's saying something right there. Physically demanding. It's a
400 lap race around a ruffle racetrack too. It's not like this thing is a freshly paved, smooth, baby smooth racetrack.
Right.
Like this place is, it's got character coming out the eyes, right? Right, Caden? Like when you look at how that facility races, like there's mistakes made every lap by basically every driver, just by, you know, missing a bump or slipping a wheel where they shouldn't. There's a tremendous amount of mistakes made over the course of a 400 lap race, not just by you. I'm not saying you make a lot of mistakes. I'm saying like the entire
field
does.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of where the comers and goers happen. Caden, how much you know, went into tire conservation on a race like that, 400 laps. Obviously, you got to save your stuff, but you've got fresh rubber down in the pits as well. How much of that 400 laps is spent, you know, managing tire?
Well, today, in the situation that I was in and having to come from the back and do all that so many times, I was pretty balls to the walls the whole race. That's what I think took quite the toll on me. You know, my original plan was to ride for 350 and have a piece left for the end. But, when we got off strategy and put our first set on too early, it kind of put us in a tough situation for when to put the next set on because, you know, we could run those tires for 200 laps and then put them on when we wanted to. But, you know, there's a chance if we get a long green flag run, we go a lap down. So we had to do what was best for us. But, I wish I probably could have saved tires a little bit more. I think I would have probably could have got a top five out of it at the end if I was able to not use up my left rear as much as I did when we put that our last set of lefts on. But, nonetheless, it's nothing to complain about. It was my first 400 at Winchester, and I hadn't even seen the place until Thursday morning, and Bob took me for a couple of laps around in the pace car, and then it was, we're going to practice, and it was something.
Right in, right? No chance to say, I can go back in the notebook and pull this out. You guys actually scripted a notebook. I guess from what you're saying here, no chance that you could have ducked in and just took two tires. You needed four each time.
Well, we were only allowed to take two tires at a time, but, we put our first set of rights on too early, and So then we were a little bit off. So we come down and put our lefts on, and you know, even then it was too early. But you know, we had a good notebook. Cody Glick, my boss, actually a routing manufacturer, and he comes and tested with a couple customers, and he give me good notes and you know a good baseline, and we tweaked on it all weekend, and I think it showed. If I would have went there by myself, I think I would have been lost. But you know, Cody and Bob, they've been there a lot, and they knew how to get around there good. So that was a lot of help.
Absolutely. Looking at obviously, you know, there's the last time we talked, there was a choice between two races, and of course, you chose the Winchester 400 over La Crosse. But now you've got a couple weeks here, and there's another great big 400 lapper. Is that on the 16's radar, or are we going to see you at Nashville?
I think we're going to be at Nashville, but it might be with a crate car. Our supermotor is getting a little tired, I think, and you know I'd rather be safe than sorry and send it in for a refresh. So if we do go to Nashville, I think as of right now it'll be in the crate car, but you know, things change. I wasn't even supposed to race Winchester, and I found out last Wednesday that we were, so we'll see.
Yeah, you gotta love it when a plan comes together, even if it is kind of a hurry-up offense, so to speak. The Derby. I can't remember. Was the Derby in the plan?
It's still up in the air, but you know, it could be like an Nashville situation. If the supermotor don't get back, we can always go run the Cray race too, and you know, we'll see. We play it basically by day, actually by hour.
Yeah, and it's results-based, right? You come home with the top 10 finish, at least, and you got the car in one piece and all of that. Like, that bodes well for not only the next race, but even further down the road, right? They need a car to do it.
Yeah, it's, you know, we keep putting the car and the trailer in one piece and being able to just sort of do the fine-tune and stuff and make sure the oil's changed and panels are back where they need to be if we had some contact, but it makes it a lot easier because then we can focus on setup, and you know, if time prevails, we can go test and stuff. So I don't know, it's tough with me living down in North Carolina now, but we try to make the best of it, and I'm thankful to be surrounded by the best people.
Caden, how about sponsorship on that number 16 car? Who was helping you out? Who is going to help you out? And they got to be important to you.
Yeah, well, this weekend, a lot of it was done by Austin at Ace Services. He's been a huge supporter of me and my little brother for the past few years. And, you know, we couldn't do a lot of the racing we do without him. But, you know, a couple of locals to Bob there that he helps out at the racetrack. And they want to step up and be a part of it. And Hoosier Tire stepped up big and helped us there too. So I can't thank all of them. They made this weekend a whole lot easier than it was going to be. And, you know, we'll try again here soon, hopefully.
You know what you're doing, right? You're cutting a path for trading to come through. That's it. That's the harsh reality. You and your brother and your dad, Jeff, everybody's got to be so pumped up for this, for what you did this weekend. I know we are. And we're just friends of yours. But, man, I'll tell you what, you turned a lot of heads this weekend, and good on you, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, good stuff. We will be catching up with you again in the near future. I can guarantee it. You're going to be doing a poll or something again. I know we'll be in touch. Trading. Caden, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time, buddy.
Thank you.
You betcha. That is Caden Lapcevich, not his brother Trayden, but, you know, one and the same. Jeff's got to be coming off the chip, right? Jeff Lapcevich.
His Facebook post right after the qualifying session at Winchester was awesome.
I bet.
Jeff's Facebook post, you could just see the emotion in text form, and it's pretty cool, man. It, you know, when you look at, you know, the biggest four late model races in you know, super late, pro late, whatever you want to talk about it.
Right.
You know, Winchester falls into that.
Yep.
Every single time. Winchester 400, All-American 400, Snowball Derby. And I, to be honest with you, you got to throw the big money race at Jukasa in there and the IWK 250. And you know, you've got you know, 15 different, you know, other ones that can fall into that fourth place slot that are big money, that have history or, you know, what have you. But I would have to say that the Oxford 250 has to, you know, hold that fourth place, you know, location. There would be the Oxford 250, there'd be the Winchester 400, there would be, you know, the Snowball Derby, and of course the All-American 400. The Winchester race has got a tremendous amount of history, 49th annual, right?
Yeah, when
you look at,
and that's
at
what it takes.
All the names that have won there or got the pole there, there's a tremendous amount of names that are very large in all forms of motorsports. And you know, when you look at the Canadian talent rolling out here, you got, you know, Cole Butcher wasn't there.
Yeah.
Cole Butcher wasn't there, and I honestly think that he would have been a favorite for that pole. I think he would have been a favorite for that win.
If it wasn't for COVID, you would have seen more.
If it wasn't for COVID, you would have seen
which
more guys.
Which one did Holdaway go down and do?
Well, he went down to Nashville.
It was Nashville.
It's a pro late model.
Right, right.
Not super.
So it wasn't the Winchester 400.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. He went down to Nashville, to be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't heard whether he's going to attempt it or not. Obviously, with the 14-day quarantine, you can make it now.
A Canadian guy
can go down. If you jump on an airplane, you can fly down, right? You can get in somebody else's car and then come back. And then you got 14 days after when you get back, which is really interesting. But when you look at, you know, the past couple years now, the crown jewel races, Canadians are getting the top spot here.
Yeah.
You know, Cole Butcher sat on the front row for the All-American 400 last year.
Yeah.
Sat on the front row for the Derby. Now you got Caden Lapcevich going down, setting the pole for the 400. People don't understand the size and scale of that impact.
Yeah.
You know,
it's huge.
We got a lot of talent up here. We got a lot of dedicated racers up here. And you know, Caden, it's not a surprise to see Caden go down and get the pole.
Not at all.
The guy's a tremendous wheelman. You know, obviously, we got to get the results now on the execution side and get the wins.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're going to see coming up next.
Yeah, we are. We're going to hit this break. We got lots more to come here, but we got to get this break out of the way. Stay with us. We will be back live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167.
This is Ray Dunlap, and if you want to know what's going on in motorsports, make sure you tune in to Racetime Radio.
Somewhere out my doorway, somewhere down my block.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, morning men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
Time Radio.
Only on
on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Got lots coming at you. Just after the top of the hour, we are going to have Jason Groves on here. He celebrates the win in the 150 yesterday at Eastbound International Speedway. Also comes away with the second championship. I've got some more Eastbound updates from what took place yesterday. Nice enough, I was chatting with Mike James Jr. Just before we went on air, and Mikey got me all up to speed, so we're going to share all that. Mikey Cormier is going to join us to talk about his win at Sydney Speedway. I guess Sunday was rained out, according to Tim Terry, but Saturday got in, and we will have Michael on the show to update everybody and take us through his race. I got a chance to have a look at that Sydney Speedway. Nice little racetrack. Have you seen any of the stuff?
I have not.
Very nice little track.
I have not seen it.
Yep.
We've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of facilities in Canada and the United States that we don't even know are out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like, it's just the way that it is. The reach of motorsports is just so far. You know, I was blown away to find out that there was a dirt track in northern Alberta,
mm-hmm.
right? And there was a dirt track in Northwest Territories.
Yes, yeah, there
you
is.
Know, and
up in Hay River,
up in
there is
Hay
one.
River, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, there's a tremendous amount of you know, facilities across the board here. But what about Sydney? What all took place there?
Well, they had pro stocks. It was Laurier Cormier went in the pro stock race. We haven't got Laurier on the show tonight. It was Michael mm-hmm. winning the street stock race. We got a full rundown. Bandoleros were there. It was a big weekend.
Gotcha.
It was like their season end blowout, you know. So it was a big night. Other one that we have got some results for and we are going to cover off real good next week here on the show is a racetrack called Center for Speed.
Gotcha.
And that track has a bunch of results. I want to say that Robbie McEwen is one. We'll probably catch Robbie next week on the show. We know him from the Parts for Truck series, but Robbie McEwen was at Center for Speed. I believe he won that race. We'll find out. Jonathan Hicken was another one. 53 Cole Butcher, Brady Creamer, Jacob Logan, Pete Miller, a lot of names that we're familiar with. We're going to talk to these guys next week on the show,
awesome.
And that was at Center for Speed. So
cool.
Looking forward to that. But it, like you say, there's lots of racetracks out there that that we don't talk about all the time and that we don't get a chance to hit on. That we do want to throughout the course of the off season, champions. I know every year. What have we? We're 14 years at this game now.
Yeah.
We always at this time of the year have a night with the champions. This year is totally weird for the sheer fact that COVID jumped in here, has messed up absolutely everything. Not only in Canada but down in the U.S. We're fortunate to have NASCAR. And the championships that will be unfolding, you know, the playoffs are happening right now. We haven't had the luxury of that here in Canada. It's all been reduced schedule. Eastbound International Speedway didn't get under the green flag until like the beginning of September.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's not a natural full season. But you know what? They're celebrating at least whatever they were able to get through and got in. And that's the same for a lot of racetracks. The only ones that really had a decent run at it were racetracks that were in New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
Speedway 660, got a decent season. And I say a decent season. Still wasn't a huge moneymaker, if it was even a break-even.
Yeah.
And the same as Petty International Raceway. Those two racetracks at least were able to have some fender
and
about it.
And Speedway Miramichi. Is it Miramichi that's
Miramichi,
in New Brunswick?
Yep. Yes, they had a little bit.
Yep.
Sydney, I don't know how many races Sydney got in. We will ask Michael when we got him on how many races he had up there. But I don't think it was many. I don't even need to say I don't think.
Yeah.
It wasn't many.
Yeah, exactly.
At Scotia Speed World, just outside Halifax, those guys got underway. It was nuts. I know. Yeah. I was texting with Ken Cunning, and they had to lay it out where the grandstand was all split up into zones or pods, if you will. Fans that sat here had to go to this washroom.
Exactly. You had to have a separate concession stand for all of them.
Oh, it was
and you
a tough
had to
deal.
Have, yeah, exactly.
They did it, but I'll tell you what, it was nothing shy of a miracle that they were able to at least get a few shows in.
Exactly. I think that, you know, it will be interesting to see the fallout, you know, heading into next year. Not even the fallout's the wrong thing. What we learned from this year works.
There'll be
stuff. I think there's going to be some stuff that is positive come out of it, but I also think that there's going to be some negatives. Obviously, you know, the things that you look at are timing and you know, shortened practice sessions and less practices and all those types of things.
Right.
Which are all positives that are designed to save money, that, you know, increase physical distancing and all that stuff, reduce the workload and all those things are things that we've seen on dirt for a long period of time.
Yeah. It's worked for dirt forever.
Exactly. So, I mean, when at the end of the day, you know, I hope that next season is back to normal or somewhat normal. And if it's not, I think that you're going to see more racing next year, just through different avenues. From what they learned this past year, even if it's not back to 100% in the spring, I think that you're going to see racetracks have the ability to have those pods and have a little bit of preparation and, you know, do
this. I agree. And it, you know what, one thing that I see that, from a business perspective, where the teams, as a collective unit, register for that race. It was X amount of dollars. The team all comes in together. Man, that's going to streamline a lot of stuff if, in fact, racetracks adopt that way of getting their teams in through the gate.
Imagine if, so, like, it's $250 for the team to register
that's
to get into the race, right? So,
yep.
I think that was a good round number. You know, I think that next year and moving forward, that can be a great way to stimulate the payout system that is structured. You know, I don't think that it's sustainable every week, but I think that it's sustainable for certain types of classes.
And for certain events.
Exactly. So, you know, the entry fee model has been there for years in the United States. And you know, you file your entry blank, you know, ahead of time. You spend $200, $400, $500 for an entry blank. And that is a partial way that you see the numbers on the bigger side on the payout.
On those entry blanks, and we've only got like a minute here, and we got to throw it back to Toronto for the news update, and we're going to do that. But, Junior, with the clock in mind, I need to ask you, when you did a entry blank down in the U.S., you were in the Cup Series. Did that include so many guys?
Yep.
So there was no paying at the gate.
There was no paying at the gate. But
if you exceeded the number of guys, how many guys would it include?
Well, it totally depends. Now, in the Cup Series, it gave you, you know, 30 hot passes or 15 hot passes and 15 cold, and it gave you a bunch of that type of stuff.
What happens
if
you exceeded that?
If you were a team member, you had to have your license. You had to just buy them. You could buy extra hot passes.
Oh, okay.
So if you were going to bring 200 people to the racetrack, you would buy additional hot passes for X amount of dollars.
Oh, I got you.
But you know, when you look at a super late model race or you know, like the Winchester 400, for instance, they have a entry blank that usually includes X amount of people at the back gate and, you know, includes your entry into the race.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a new model by any stretch, but I think that it can be incorporated healthily in a healthy manner.
Right.
to the motorsports racing world here in Canada. And I would love to hash that out with somebody, because I think that it's a way that you can stimulate, you know, the payout structure. I think it's a great way to attract people so that you know who's going to be there ahead
right.
of time.
Yep.
And it's a great way to market the race as well. People want to see the star player. People want to see the star driver at the race.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Andrew Grizel fan and you hear that Andrew Grizel is going to be racing at Sunset Speedway this weekend, that's a good thing. You're going to go. And it's a marketable venture to have an entry blank.
Now, I got to admit, and welcome back, everybody, on Sirius XM Channel 167. I have to admit here, we have not missed the top of the hour, throw it back for the break. We haven't missed that since the day we started doing that. And you know what? For some reason tonight, my brain went into neutral. I'm thinking we got to be out by 8:01. It's 8:01. We're back. So I totally blew the top of the hour
tonight. I'm
sorry
about that.
Hey, it's not your fault. This was me. Sirius XM. Pardon. Sorry.
Sorry.
I blew it. And we will fix that for next week. So we don't have to throw it back to Toronto right now. We are back with you live for hour number two. And we have got a great guest lineup coming at you in this hour. Jason Groves is going to be with us here in moments. I know Susie Q is dialing him up right now. We'll go off to Newfoundland. We'll talk about Eastbound International Speedway. And we'll catch up with Jason Groves, driver of the number 74, his second championship. Junior, you've been out there as well. You've seen Jason perform on that racetrack.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you didn't see Jay?
I do not believe that Jason Groves was racing the night that I was there.
Really?
The 74 was not there. To the best of my recollection, he was not there. You know, he must have been off that weekend.
It could have been.
Or he wasn't, you know, racing, because there was a point in time in there where he took a year off or so, right?
No, I don't think a year, but...
To be honest with you, I do not recall the 74 car.
Really?
So, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I don't know whether he was there or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got him tonight. On the hotline. Let's welcome in Jason Groves, driver of that number 74 from Eastbound International Speedway. What's going on there, Jay? How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Joe boy. How about yourself?
Oh, doing fantastic. Well, were you there the night that Junior and DJ were there?
Were you there?
Yes.
You were there, okay.
Yeah.
I'm extremely sorry. I remember the Groves.
Yeah.
Right? I remember the Groves, but the 74, did you run into trouble? Was it you that ran into trouble with Phil Fowler that night?
No, I was, you were second, I believe, at the time. I was in third, right behind you.
Okay.
There you go. See how tentative he is to detail, Jay.
That's a long time ago. You guys can't throw me under the bus like this.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Well,
I don't remember what I had for breakfast today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Incredible. You had a good weekend out there in Newfoundland, Jay. You had a good shortened season. Take us through, first of all, let's talk about last night's race. It was a 150. You had your work cut out for you, I can guarantee that. Obviously, you won the race. Take us back through the 150.
It was a long race. We started off in second, and early in the lap second, two laps in, we took the lead, and then we got ready and just stayed up front and just kept clean laps going and didn't push it too hard and just waited till we got to the last 75 and then started working on, kept the lead and stayed up front.
I'll tell you what, if there's anybody out there that can hit their mark each and every time and replicate a lap, Jay, it's you. Man, I've watched you race for a couple of years, and you have got probably the best hand-eye coordination out of anybody out there. You hit those laps every time. Do you work on that, like, from a consistency basis, or is it just something that comes natural?
I guess it just comes natural.
That's amazing, because you really know how to do that, and that's what you need to do, right? You got to, especially in those 150-lap races out there at Eastbound, you need the consistency, and if there's a track where you need to save your stuff, man, that's the place.
Yes, definitely. Especially with the small car count, it was a lot of green flag laps, so it was a lot of long runs, and you had to keep hitting the marks to keep the laps going.
Well, good for you winning the race. It's been a weird season, hasn't it? No need to even say that, but this COVID year has just been crazy. You guys didn't get under a green flag until the beginning of September, I do believe.
Yes, it was. We only had three races, shortened season for sure. And we had a lower car count this year, but it was still great to get behind the wheel and run a few races.
Good stuff. Now, your car, the 74, got a beautiful shot of it up on racetimeradio.com. And I've been watching you forever. Is that the same car that that I used to watch you in, or is that a new piece? What did you do to get prepared for 2020 this year?
We didn't do a big lot. We just took a mid-summer here. We pulled the car out and started getting it ready. And we spent a lot of time doing some setup work with her. And other than that, we just went racing and kept everything else the same. And this car, we had her for 2 years now. This one is.
Yeah, two-year-old car, and it's working really good. Is that one that came, is that one that you guys built? Because I know you guys are really good at it. Or did you get that from the mainland?
No, we bought her here on the island. And she was, we had to put the new front clip in. And we rebuilt that, and we just made her the way we wanted her.
Well, you guys do a dynamite job with it, and it's going to be nice to get a full season back in, and I know you guys will be prepared for it, but your team or your stable got a little bit bigger. You guys got running another car out of your shop now, right? Are you guys all running out of the same shop?
Yep. Owen Groves, he's with us. We got him now for the last 2 years, and he's doing good so far. I must say he's one of the top competition at that track, too.
Yeah, he is. Owen, talk about turn heads. He was the young driver, Junior, you can remember. Yeah, how can
absolutely.
You forget,
yeah,
Owen?
100%.
He comes out first time in a late model.
In a pro stock car. And away
he goes. He goes out and goes to victory lane, race number one. Were you prepared to see young Owen do that?
No, definitely not. We got in the car and he went in practicing. He only practiced one night. And we just told him, just run laps and just keep it clean and, stay behind and just take your time. Then when the heat race came, next thing he was just passing cars and going to the lead, and we're like, well, we didn't know what to expect after that.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from? But he did the same thing in Bandoleros, right? Like, the kid was magic in that car.
Oh, he was. He had it all figured out. He's a really talented young driver, and he's doing really good, and it's great to see.
That's exciting.
Is the setup anywhere close between your car and Owen's car? They're both late model cars. Are they set up similar, or does he like something different than you do, Jason?
Nope. The two cars are, I'm going to say, pretty much identical. And just every now and then he might want a little different change at the racetrack with the track condition or something compared to me. But other than that, when we leave the garage, they're basically the same.
So, obviously, with the smaller car count this year, across the board, a little bit of a difficult year, for everybody. You see, everybody knows who is sitting on the sidelines, right? Your competition. But are you hearing good things, positive things, that once this COVID deal blows over, that everybody's going to come back to the racetrack? Is that kind of the resounding, sounds from out there?
Yes, it is, especially with, you just said, a lot of people are saying with a shortened season, this you're going to leave the cars home and spend some time home and next year get ready and go racing again.
Gotcha.
And there's nothing really wrong with that, right? You're going to save the gear.
Yep.
And you're going to get a little bit of family time, which is good. It's always important. Now, I know the Groves family just loves spending the time at the Speedway. When you guys got a break, that's where you head.
Yes, for sure. It was nice. From last year to this year, we've done a lot of changes to the car, so it was nice to get back and hit the track and see what we had. And now we know we're going to be pretty prepared for next year and have a good start to the season.
Awesome.
I would say, especially with the finish. You won them all this year, right? You guys raced three times. You got three wins.
Yes.
And what was your worst start, Jay?
I think we started fifth, I believe. Third or fifth at the first race. And then that was in heat race, and we took the lead at that one, and then we led pretty much from there on.
That's cool. And I heard Mike, I was texting with Mike, Mike James, before the show, of course. He's with Eastbound International Speedway, does great job announcing and doing all the prep work for all the sponsorship and stuff. Mike had mentioned that Jamie Drukin was back up. Kind of nice to see those guys show up.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He come back out. He was hoping to try to take the win away, but we couldn't let that happen.
Yeah, you weren't going to accommodate him. You like three.
Pardon?
You like three wins.
Oh, yeah. Three is definitely better than two.
Absolutely.
100%.
Jason Groves with us live tonight on Racetime Radio. He is from out in Newfoundland. What is your hometown? Are you right out of St. John's?
No, we're out of Heart's Desire.
Heart's Desire. And how close is that to St. John's? About halfway between the track and St. John's? Or whereabouts is Heart's Desire?
Say you come out to Whipper and you turn down the shore and we're 35 minutes, say, off the highway.
No. Yeah, not bad. So you're not too far from the speedway.
No.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Amazing. Some of the best years. I was race director out at Eastbound for a couple of years. And I'll tell you what, the people out there, the race teams, the track, the whole situation, I'll tell you, very, very hard to top. Yeah. These people are right on the money. They love their racing. Jason is the driver of the 74. You, Jay, were the first NASCAR champion that Eastbound produced, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, what was that like, winning your NASCAR championship, heading to Charlotte and doing all the deal down there?
It was pretty exciting to be the first one, for sure, and to get to experience that going to Charlotte, it was definitely different, for sure, and it's something you always remember.
Yeah, well, Absolutely. And you, my friend, you're memorable. I can tell you that. When you sit in the grandstand and you watch a 74 car go, you will definitely remember it. Always a beautiful car. You guys work extra hard on that machine to make it look brand new every time you guys head out onto the speedway.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just amazing. So, sponsorship on the 74. Who did you have on there this year, bud?
We had A. St. George, G. Groves & Sons, Get Crackin', Napa, and W.G. Garland's.
Yeah.
And Monty's Place.
Also, yeah, Monty's Place. I remember seeing that on the car, too, now that you say that.
Yep.
So, do you pack the car away now? That's it for this year. Do you have things that you're going to change on that 74 car to get it ready for 2021? Or are you pretty happy with it the way it is?
Pretty happy, but you always want to make it better. No matter how fast you be, you always want to try to make it a little bit better. So I'm sure we haven't unloaded the car yet, but we'll unload it probably tomorrow night. And I'm sure if I'm St. George, he'll spend some time at it, and he'll want to make her better, for sure.
Typical racer, never satisfied. You guys always want to go faster.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, incredible. Jay, this has been great catching up with you. How's your dad doing, man?
Oh, he's great. He's enjoying the racing, for sure, and he was happy to get a few races in, but he's happy that it's all over again.
Yeah, I can well imagine. Man, what do you got, Junior?
Hey, looking at the photo of the car, are you familiar with Matt Craig? Like, are you a fan of Matt Craig in the Cars Tour?
No, I've looked at his car a few times. I watched him race a bit and seen some wins he had. And
yeah,
I liked his paint scheme, and I said, now I'm gonna do one similar to his.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
So when you look at Matt Craig's car, and obviously it's different because it's a different number, and you guys have it laid out a little bit different. You have your own your own touches to it, but when you look at Matt Craig's 54, right?
Yep.
He's number 54. When you look at his car and you compare it to the 74, basically, you know, a spitting image of the 54 car. But definitely pretty cool. I just wanted to ask you that because it's definitely pretty cool. Talked to Matt Craig?
Attention to detail, Junior. I'm pretty impressed.
Have you ever talked to Matt Craig? Like, have you ever showed him your car? I bet he'd get a good kick out of it.
I never spoke to him. I just, like I said, I've seen some races that he ran. He's, you know, a pretty talented driver too, and And I liked his paint scheme. Me and my buddies liked it, so we said, that's what we're going to go with this year.
He's a pit bull behind the wheel.
He is.
He's an absolute pit bull, and just love watching Matt Craig.
Well, we'll have to let Matt know about
it. We will for sure.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, Matt, I bet he's seen it.
Matt has probably seen that 74 car. Yeah,
When I seen the photo on RTR this morning, I was like, Mom, what are you doing? That's Matt Craig's car. And then I was like, oh, no, that's Groves' car. Okay. Yeah. That's cool, though. That was really neat.
Yeah. Is the car going to look the same next year, Jason?
We haven't really talked about it yet, but I'm going to say yes. But you never know what can happen between now and then with sponsors raining and see what happens.
Yeah, who knows, right? You did not a mark on it this year. Far as I could see, it looked pretty damn good.
Yep. I don't think we had air smack or anything this year. It was a pretty clean racing.
Well, congratulations on all the success this year. I know it was a goofy year, but you guys made the best of it, and you went out there and showed them how to get it done. And, Jason, always love having you on this show. Do me a favor, say hi to the family, wish them the best, and you too. And I know we look forward to maybe catching you a little bit later in the off season, see how the plans are coming.
Yep, sure, anytime, and appreciate having me on, and hope you're doing well, and I guess we'll be talking again.
Absolutely. That is Jason Groves, driver of the number 74 out in Newfoundland, Eastbound International Speedway. Oh, there's the 54. I see what you're saying. Oh, my. Yeah. Is it ever close?
Isn't that? It's a spitting image, that's for sure.
Very, very close.
Pretty cool.
Two real good champions right there.
Now, while we're on the topic of Eastbound, Brian Healy sent kind of an update here.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The Bandolero race from yesterday, they finished neck and neck. Noah picked up the victory lane.
Noah got the win.
Noah set fast time, fastest lap of the year, but then they look at this finish. I got to show it to you.
Well,
they're side by side here coming to. And you might know Jacob Lawrence.
Yep.
Here's the. That's the finish.
Oh wow! Look at that for a finish. The 84.
Like when you talk about a bumper.
Yep.
Beat you by a bumper.
Yep.
Well, usually a bumper on a big car is a big bumper.
Right.
That's a Bandolero bumper.
And
that's a close finish.
I'll tell you what, those young gentlemen and ladies, because they got them both in that class out there.
They get
it on. And I might add, at sizable short tracks, you will find the Bandoleros in most cases have either a smaller track that they run on or reduced. They don't usually let them run on the full oval. Not so at Eastbound International Speedway. These drivers are going full tilt on the big deal, and I'll tell you what, they are hauling the mail.
Yeah, absolutely, they are. They're going real fast. And just a correction here: Noah was second.
Second
place. Yes. Lawrence was first.
Well, Jacob Lawrence won all of them.
Exactly. Lawrence was first, but they were neck and neck coming to the checkers. But 100%. When you look at a big track, even Delaware Speedway, right? It's a half mile.
Yep.
They run through the infield at Delaware with the junior cast cars.
Yeah.
The junior late models now, J car, if you will, they run through the infield. You look at even Scotia Speed World, right?
Mm-hmm.
They run across the bottom portion of the racetrack,
right?
Definitely cool to see them at Eastbound. It's a big place.
It is,
and there's a lot of throttle time there when you're in a little car like that.
Austin Hiscox makes his debut in a legend car. Did a great job. I want to see come home fourth or fifth in the feature. Did a dynamite job. So, Austin, congratulations on that. It was another big day for Michael Neary in his legend car. He won them all this year. Did a dynamite job. In the hobby stocks, the points were one by one. It's still unofficial at this particular point in time. Andrew Morgan. Won the hobby stock, but it is unofficial. You'll have to check with the Speedway as they go through their review. And I can tell you what, next week on the show, I hope to have that hobby stock champion on here. We'll get him on to celebrate it and along with a bunch of guys from Center for Speed. I'll get you some names, some results on the other side. Oh, Jamie Drukin showed up at Eastbound. Didn't have a bad day, didn't have a good day, didn't win, but nice to see Jamie Drukin back out. And our buddy Phil Fowler Jr. smoked a motor. His motor expired. He won the championship at Thunder Valley and blew his motor up last day at Eastbound. Tough, tough deal for the number 11 car.
It happens. when you look at, you mentioned that we're not going to have all like a whole lot of champions to talk about.
Right.
There's a whole lot of COVID champions, though. Like, when you look at it, you know, when
sure.
there's a whole lot of, you know, small race series, like the
and
APC series.
Tough to win.
100% they are.
Tougher,
and,
maybe.
Yeah, when you look at, the APC series, the Pro Stocks got a couple of green flags. Did they name a
no.
champion?
No.
So there's no champion
no
at all.
No champion.
But they had two races where they dropped the green flag for,
yes.
for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. APC, of course, Joe Lawrence went to Victory Lane and,
yep.
and a bunch and picked up the championship. When you look at the NASCAR Pinty Series, Jason Hathaway
and Junior,
picked up the dub.
You say Jason Hathaway, and really that is what it was. Jason Hathaway, when we had him on the air, after the win, after the championship, I said, Jay, like it was a reduced schedule. I know it's not. NASCAR isn't going to put you up in the Hall of Fame and do all the stuff they normally do. It was Jason Hathaway that said, hey, Joe, don't forget, it was a shortened season. They're tougher to win, man. You really, like, you blow one night, you blow one lap, and you're not going to be the champion. I thought, you know what, you're right.
It is true. It plays directly into somebody's wheelhouse a little bit better when it's a traveling deal.
Well,
I'm not saying that it's not harder to win.
That's right.
It is harder to win because of that, perfection aspect, right?
Yep.
There's less mulligans can be had.
Oh, yeah. You got none.
You got none. You're racing perfection. But also, if you execute perfectly, it becomes a little bit, it's not harder. It's not easier. I would say that it is harder to have the perfection level the more races you go, because it's harder to maintain that perfection level. Because really, when you look at any big form of racing
today.
Yeah, but
you get a little bit of time in there. If you blow a race, you still got more to catch up.
You do have time to catch up, but if you
three race series, you've had it
in the NASCAR Pinty Series right now, right? 12 races.
Yeah.
If you blow a motor and you finish dead last in one of those races, you're not winning the championship.
Nope. Not at all.
You're not winning.
Nope.
Like guaranteed 100%. You're not winning. So now where it becomes, there's gotta be a line in there where you can catch back up. And you look at the processes like the Chase, right, in the NASCAR Cup Series,
right,
that evens it all out. So it's harder to win because it's only a shortened deal,
sure.
and there's more guys with the direct chance at the championship. But in the old model, in the NASCAR Winston Cup Series or the Busch Series, back in those days, you could blow a motor,
yep.
but you couldn't blow two,
right?
Or you could wreck
up.
Once, you could wreck twice, but you can't wreck three times. You know what I mean? But in a shortened series, I think that we're all short series here in Canada. Everything is a short series.
Well, this
you look at the
really
APC
short.
Series, exactly, but we're kind of groomed for that. And when you look at the APC series, you look at the Pro Stock Tour, none of them race more than 15 times a year.
No.
So really everything is short. And
yeah.
and this season, just to be able to get out there, to be able to get racing and put a product on digitally for the fans was pretty cool. And I hope that everybody is hungry for more racing and not finding other stuff to do.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we'll find out what happens. I know we're going to get everybody ready for 2021, but we're going to cap 2020 first. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, like I say, we're getting on the boat. We're leaving Newfoundland, and we're going to stop in New Brunswick. Michael Cormier is going to join us on the other side of the break. He did some winning on the weekend, and we're going to find out exactly how his race unfolded. Stay with us.
Anytime at all. Anytime at all. You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24/7 is on SiriusXM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Brincone.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24/7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
SiriusXM Channel 115 or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
There we go. The big polar bear bringing us back. Wheelhouse. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio.
I don't understand what the polar bear.
Well, polar bear is the name of the tune, man.
Oh, my God.
Ah, see?
You say that.
Goes
You've
on.
Said that for, like, weeks
well,
on end.
A bunch.
The polar bear, the polar bear,
the polar bear.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And the reason why I kept going back to what are you talking about is because if you listen to Dave Moody's show, there's the polar bear. They play that.
Okay. No. That's got nothing to do with that polar bear.
Yeah, that's
nothing to do with it.
Well, they play it like in the background, like
really?
Yeah. Like,
I can't remember that. I've listened to Moody's show a lot, so I can't remember hearing the polar bear.
Yeah.
No. First time caller, a ding a ding a ding.
Yeah.
But no, I can't remember the polar bear, but it has nothing to do with that. Polar bear is Ked.
He's I got you.
Yeah,
I got you now.
Okay, gotcha. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we, and talk some more racing now. We're in New Brunswick, and it was Sydney Speedway going to victory lane in the street stock class. I believe it was a 51-lap race. We will check that with Michael Cormier. We got him live on the hotline. What's going on, Michael? How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a 52-lap feature. In memory of Gerald Pugie, I don't know how it's said, Hache Memorial.
Yeah. And you went to Victory Lane, my friend. What? How did the race go? Obviously, really good. But take us back through the race.
Yeah, it was a fun race. It had a lot to do with strategy, I guess, in my part. We went there with the wrong set of gears starting off the day, so we were revving a little too high, but. 52 laps isn't too long, so we just hung in there until the last restart, and Brendan McInnes was unfortunate. He had a fast car. his transmission let go, and we were sitting pretty good in second place. And on the restart with 5 laps to go with Wayne Smith on my inside, and it was pretty nerve-wracking, honestly, being inside sixth time there. And anyway, he taught me a lot from the Ricky Bobby race, and I kind of used it during this restart, and I got the best of him this time, and it worked out for us.
Did you have to use him up a little bit?
Yeah, we gave him a little bit of a bumper, but nice. I don't think he minds. He can take it, and he can dish it out.
So. Hey, absolutely, 100%. No, you're totally allowed to, if you're faster than them, you're totally allowed to use them up. Just expect to get used up back, right? Like, that's just the way that it works. I mean, it's part of this sport, and the fans love it when you get to use somebody up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I got out of the car. It was quite a sight to see anyway in the grandstands. You know, there was a lot of people there, and, you know, they were all cheering. They all had a good time. Wayne came over to me after a race and give me a handshake. He's a class act. He's been around for a lot of years, and I used to look up to him when I was younger, and might have learned a few things from him.
Well, that's cool. And when you can get out there and beat guys that that you look up to and that you've watched for a number of years, the Oval Outlaw, Wayne Smith, he is the promoter at Petty International Raceway, also known as the tech guy in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. So, Wayne Smith, a tough, tough customer every time he gets into a race car. Michael, going out there and beating him, that's got to say a lot. Tell us, is Sydney Speedway your home track?
Well, actually, my home track, I guess, if you consider it as the closest track, would be Shediac Center for Speed. I can look out my window and see it.
Cool.
That's home track, but, then.
yeah, but Petty International Raceway is where I'm racing most weekends. You know, I see Wayne on a daily basis, so racing against him is kind of a different perspective, I guess, on everything. But, it's always fun racing either Petty or Shediac. They put on great shows, and there's always a lot of fans out there.
That's cool. In third spot in the race, second spot, it was Wayne Smith driving the 61. In third spot, Chucky Campbell was in third spot. Did you have to pass these guys to get the lead, or did you start the race up at the front?
I believe I started in second place on the outside of Brendan McInnes. The heat race, I had to start in, I think it was in third, and then I just made my way up to second behind Brennan and kind of went into a coast mode and let it see through until the feature. And Wayne just got me on the first restart. I fell back to maybe fourth or fifth. And then they were great racing all day. You know, there's a little bit of rubbing involved, but nothing too serious. Then we made our way back up to second after Brennan. His transmission let go on, I believe it was like lap 38. And we were just the fortunate team, and we took advantage of it there at the end.
Yeah, good deal. How many races did you guys get in there at Sydney Speedway this year? Or how many did you get in at the track, or did you run every time the track went green?
That was my very first time, actually. We usually run down New Brunswick and the odd race in Nova Scotia with the Legend cars. Kind of introduced me a lot to Nova Scotia racing, but in the street stock class, that was my first time ever at Sydney. It was neat. The drive up was awesome. The staff, everything was just amazing, you know. And being a kid that used to watch the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, I always remember seeing Art Steves up there dancing on the flag stand, and just thinking how cool it would be to race underneath him. And I did so for the first time at Sydney, so. Yeah, it was a real honor to race there in memory of Gerald Hache, and the whole family was there. They presented us with T-shirts and a plaque to Brian McInnes for putting on the show. They were all awesome about it. It was a great time and really great outcome.
Talk to us a little bit about the body on your car. So you won this weekend in the 68 car, in the baby blue car. Is the whole body a Dodge Challenger? Is that?
Well, I guess, if you want to get really technical about it, it's it's supposed to be made to look like a Challenger.
Absolutely.
But everything was pretty much built from the ground up on that car, and we had to make it all look like it. Obviously, we didn't have the budget to go get a whole Dodge Challenger body and put it on. So, like the two front fenders, we went to a junkyard and got it off an M300 Chrysler, and the doors and the rear quarters were made by ourselves. And Doug White and Earl Wright had a lot to do with that.
It
and
looks great.
The roof, I believe, we got off of an actual burnt-up Challenger, actually.
It looks absolutely great and fantastic job by,
you know,
piecing it together. It, you know, it's by far my favorite take on a Dodge Challenger on the street stock side of things. You know, when you look at, I know there's a couple guys like Brian Cathcart will probably want to kick me because his car is really cool too. But he's got a Super B, which isn't a Dodge Challenger, but it's got all the, you know, the shapes and stuff like that.
Right.
But when you look at it, it's not the AR style Dodge Challenger. There's an AR body that is the new street stock quote unquote body or a sportsman style body that's available, but it's not like that. You guys, it's your own take on a Challenger, and really you guys did a great job on it. So just wanted to, you know, give hats off to you. And I think, you know, looking at it, I mean, you could load that thing up on a trailer and bring it over and race it in the Oscar Hot Rod Series, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like we go up there and we take pride in what we do. Like I said, Doug White and Earl Wright and B&R Racing also had a lot to do with it. Since the very beginning, we wanted to make a nice piece for Dodge. They were sponsoring us since day one. You know, we came from Atlanta, Georgia, with two Bando cars and an open trailer that we borrowed, and happened to go by Monte Carlo Dodge at that time, and they just came out and said, you know, do you guys have something on your roof yet? And, on your hood, excuse me. And we said, no, you know, we're just new to racing. We just want to practice a bit and maybe get going next year. And right away they offered to sponsor us, and they've been great ever since, you know, for 9 years sponsoring us and being our main sponsor. That is quite something. And, you know, they're always keeping in touch, and they're just amazing people out there, always at the races and cheering us on.
Yeah, good stuff. How about other support on that 68 car? Who else you got as a sponsor on it?
Well, we're very fortunate to have a lot of sponsors. Monte Crusher Dodge, as I said, is our main sponsor. They've been around for a long time. And then Crossroads Cycles are also another sponsor we have. Post-Tech Screw Piles, Sports Rock, my grandmother, Giselle, Sean's Tire and Auto, and then I have to say thank you to Lonnie Somerville Racing for setting up our car and helping us out.
Lonnie, good guy to be coupled in with. Those guys put their heart and soul into everything that they do, and good for you, Michael. Is this it now? You stick a fork in it, you're done, and get prepared for 2021, or have you guys got other plans?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, we've been looking forward to hopefully getting into another class next year. So I'd say this is the end of the year for us. There's not much racing that we can do down south with the COVID-19, everything going on. So we're just going to focus on hopefully putting together a sportsman car if we can in the off season. It all depends on obviously budget and everything else, time and so on. But we're going to try to get the legend car going as well. Which I like to thank CHR for helping us with that, and get the street stock going for a few races next year. And you know, we're going to try to race as much as we can. We enjoy racing, and you know, I have great people behind me like Neil Crawford, Earl Wright, Doug White, and all the sponsors that I mentioned. And you know, they really give me an opportunity to go out there and have some fun with our little racing family.
Well, good deal, and congratulations on the victory, my friend. You did awesome, and I know we look forward to getting you back on Race Time in the future.
Thank you. I'd enjoy that. You know, it's a great time. You guys are awesome. You know, I listen to you guys all the time, and every time I go on Ganesh, I just remember from Race Time Radio, you know, it was always on, and seeing you guys around, and I thought it was pretty cool now to be on Racetime Radio. So thank you.
Hey,
absolutely.
Good deal.
Thank you very much for the support.
Thanks for your support, buddy. You have a good night, and get ready for 2021. It'll be here before you know it.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you guys later.
Absolutely. Michael Cormier comes away with the victory at Sydney Speedway. Let me tell you a little bit about Sydney Speedway, shall I? Built in 1975, and it was sold in 2019. Greg Dell bought it. He is the new owner of Sydney Speedway. Cape Breton is where the track is located.
Well, did it have a different name? Is this, I'm thinking
Miners.
Coal Mine. Yeah.
Miners is it the Memorial.
Miners Memorial. That's,
but now it's Sydney
now
Speedway.
Now it's Sydney Speedway.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they do a great job.
There's a wall in one end, and there's kind of a runoff area on the opposite end, right?
Okay.
That's from the looks of it.
Yeah. Right.
A little bit older racing surface.
Yep.
You know, looks like a pretty gritty surface. And that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing.
Right.
Lots of character. And, by the looks of it, it's got, you know, an awesome facility there. Grandstand wise, it looks like you've got there's not a bad seat in the house by
right.
any stretch.
You can stay up with them on Facebook. They do have a Facebook page. It's Sydney Speedway. And if you want to have a look at Saturday's show, you can do that. Tim Terry was there. Just get to Tim's Corner Motor or Tim's Motorsport. You can check him out on Facebook. You know Tim; he's on the show all the time. Tim'sCorner.ca, and that race they did it. So you'll be able to check it out. You just need one of those passes. Event passes, and you'll be able to pick up either a monthly subscription to Timmy, and you'll be able to watch that race from Saturday. Sunday's festivities did get rained out. Other feature winners that day, we can have a look at that. Feature number one in the mini stock, the 88 of Cody Quinn went to victory lane. Oh, Dave Matthews in second spot. Feature number two, Cody Quinn once again. So, yeah, it was a good weekend for Cody. Tanton Wood Ridge went to victory lane in the Bandoleros, and he did that twice, feature one and feature two. Huh, feature three, the zero car won it there, too. So it was a good weekend for him. And in the Robbie's Tractor Trailer Sportsman 100, it was the number 53 of Lori Cormier going to victory lane. Second spot, the 48, familiar name, Dave Oblinas, and the 42 of Chris Reed. So those were your top three in the pro stocks. But we are going to hit our final break. We got lots more coming at you. Stay with us right here on Racetime Radio.
Older than a witch's titty out there, isn't it?
Hi, this is Derek Kiersma, driver of the number 7 Oscar Super Late model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name,
Nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on them.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime. I want to point something out to absolutely everybody. You follow us on Facebook at Racetime Radio. We posted the links from Puddle Power that did the video shooting at Flamborough Speedway for Frosttoberfest.
Yes.
2020. Ingrid has got things cut together.
Is that her name?
Ingrid, yes.
I've always said, hey, Puddle Power, how are you? Yeah. I've always said that.
It's Ingrid, and she does a great job at
Wonderful
that Speedway.
Job.
Always has. And we hooked her up with a feed to the Racetime Radio broadcast to go along with her video if she wanted to, you know, sort of add that in. And she did. And, I had a look at some of them. The links are posted. They're all individual. So if you want to look at the watch the mini stock race, or if you want to watch the late models go, the super stocks, they're all broke out for you.
Yep.
And check it out. You can either get to it from Pedal Power, or
just go to YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube, type in Pedal Power Flamborough Speedway, and just look for,
sure,
you know, Oktoberfest.
Or you could go real easy and go to racetimeradio.com and click on them.
Yeah, on Racetime Radio's Facebook page.
Right.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page, we've got all the links laid out there for all the individual races. And I also want to put it out, our thoughts and prayers are with Ingrid. Her mother passed away this week. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Ingrid and her husband. Just terrible for her. And to add insult to injury, someone broke into her shop.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All over $10. Someone broke in, and that's all they got was $10. So I would really, really like if that person could be found and held with their toes to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that person wouldn't want to show up anywhere close to Flamborough Speedway or anywhere near us.
No.
Because it wouldn't be good. No. It wouldn't be good. It's disgusting, actually,
yeah.
Why people need to break in and steal stuff from somebody. Get a job. Get a job.
That's right.
How easy can it be, right? Go get a job.
Yep.
You don't need to do that. But Ingrid does beautiful work. Check out her stuff. Pedal Power. She has got a really, really good eye for videotaping, for camera work. She did a really good job. And Kojiko did air Frosttoberfest last night.
Cool.
In Burlington, Hamilton area on Kojiko, your TV. Check that out, because I would imagine they're going to air it more than once. You can check it out there.
Cool.
Now, last night, watching Rev TV for some time, Sue and I hanging out, I said, hey, let's throw on Rev TV. What did we catch? We caught the end of Speedway 660's big 250 weekend, caught the Sportsman race right at the end, and it was on Speed Sport TV on Rev TV, and kind of cool to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Dylan and all of Tim's crew, they did a great job on it, and it was kind of cool to watch it on Rev TV.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, you're seeing that more and more, the digital capabilities of getting these races on film that you can go back and watch them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they got to be done right. Yeah. Timmy's doing a great job.
Yeah, for sure.
Really good job.
Wonderful. Definitely pretty cool. I know that, you know, I believe the Winchester race is going to be on MAV TV, the Winchester 400.
Right, because it was
it's going to be rebroadcast.
Speed51.com mm-hmm. today, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be rebroadcast on MAV TV, and so be watching out for that. And that's, of course, for our U.S. listeners. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we can't get that in Canada.
I don't know if we'll get that here, but you know, across the board, you know, a great season for everybody up here in Canada.
Yeah,
you know,
and
you know, hold your heads high, because I think that everybody took part, you know, did their part in helping the motorsports community. I seen a bunch of really cool posts this weekend, and it all kind of started from Amanda Balson and Kelly Balson, sharing their memories of Autumn Colors and the Autumn Colors Classic.
Right.
And
that didn't happen this year.
That didn't happen this year. It was canceled. You know, looking through my Facebook feed, you know, over the course of the weekend, lots of people sharing photos and stories and you know, images of their memory of what Autumn Colors Classic was,
right,
and is
and will be.
You know, I think that you know, it's definitely a crushing blow that it didn't happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it holds a special place in my heart.
Give me one of your memories.
I'm going to
give you two of mine after you're done, but give me one of yours.
My biggest memory is us racing Brandon Watson for the lead in the Oscar Super Late Model, and of course it was Andrew Grizel driving. We were racing for the lead and going for the championship, and Watson ended up going around. He got a flat tire,
yep,
and he busted through the field like Jack the Bear,
mm-hmm,
and he passed us like we were stopped, and he took the victory. And then he, you know, every one of our team hung our heads and kind of, you know, walked of shame because we just got our butts kicked. But nobody looked, because it's not a thing where you can just slap new tires on an Oscar car.
Right.
It's not allowed. But right, he bolted two brand new right side tires with 10 laps to go in the feature. And he drove back up through the field, and nobody from our team seen it. We're all dedicated, you know, looking at the championship. That's
right,
all we care about.
Right.
And here comes Watson with two brand new tires, which was equivalent of like a second and a half. Those tires that Oscar were on were terrible back in the day.
Right.
And he busted through the field, and he beat us, and everybody came over to me and was like, they're not going to allow that, are they? And I was like, I mean, he beat us.
Right. He beat us hands
and
down.
How did you not see it? He bolted two tires on the car. And we're like, what? There's a tire inventory rule.
Right, right.
And, you know, there was a whole bunch of hoopla about it. But that night, we all partied and had a good time, and it was still a lot of fun.
Well, my memories, a couple of them stand out. One, doing interviews down on trackside. Catching up with the winners. I believe this particular year, you could pick any year, Glenn Watson winning the Oscar Championship. He used to do that on a regular basis every year there, driver of the number 22. But it was the 30 of Todd Davenport that really, really stuck out. Mm-hmm. And Todd Davenport had this crown on his head.
Yeah.
I said, what the
Him
hell have you got
Davies
on your head?
And all those guys had.
Yeah. They come out with a crown, and the idea was each year crown would be presented at the Autumn Colors Classic weekend. And I thought, how cool is that? And it was the group of guys that come up with the idea.
Yeah.
And the tradition continues today.
Yep.
Which is kind of cool. The other one that I got to throw out there is, and from a fun standpoint, JP does a great job. He's got the barn out back. He does a big party. When the races are done, they head to the big party barn, and everybody has a good time out there. And one that always catches my mind is Teddy McAllister, crew chief for J.R. Fitzpatrick. Teddy McAllister has been in the sport a long time. And he was out there busting moves, and they got him on video and shared it. I had a Good chuckle. See,
there's a reason why that's not a memory for me.
Why?
Because I don't remember it.
You don't
I was
remember.
Right there, though. I was right there, but yeah. There was. I don't think anybody there remembers it.
No, you couldn't cash in on that, right? didn't have the ability.
I didn't have the ability at all.
No.
But when you look at Autumn Colors, and another memory that I have, you know, and it doesn't pertain me at all or anybody that, you know, it from a race team standpoint. The 77, the Steel City Outlaw, George
Wilson. Yep.
Fighting with Jeff Hanley.
I remember that year.
That is a very fond memory. You know, not fond. I like both of them. I respect both of them. But the racing that they used to do to each other was never clean.
Fierce.
It was gloves off. You know, I don't care about my car and I don't care about your car more. That was the way that they raced each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was always fun and it always seemed to come to a head at Autumn Colors.
Fun for us to watch.
Oh, a blast to
Not
watch.
Not for them,
and
but
no,
fun for us.
And, you know, it was always a tremendous. I think it was fun for both of them.
I got a clip somewhere.
I've talked to George Wilson about this. And if you're listening, George, you know, post some pictures, because I know he's got some good pictures of him, like with an overhand swing punch going at Jeffrey. And
I have got, you know, a clip somewhere with George Wilson saying, hi, this is George Wilson, driver of the 77 Oscar Super Late Model. Hanley, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yes, yes.
I remember that. That was a long time ago. Some dynamite races. Not Oktoberfest. That was also a real good one. Autumn Colors Classic Weekend.
Yep.
The Ontario final race of the year. It always has been. And big car counts. If you got it, use it. And everybody
and
would show up.
It.
I remember one year Tim Terry coming up from the East Coast of Canada.
There was guys there from Ottawa every year. You know, a solid, you know, 4.5 hour, five hour drive.
Some of the guys from the U.S. would tow in for it.
Yeah, they would come up from Sault Ste. Marie in Michigan. And,
for good cause.
It was a spectacular race weekend. And
still is.
It still is. And, you know, share your images and hats off to Amanda Balson and Kelly and those guys for you know, sharing that and then starting that this weekend. I would love to see more of it.
Yeah.
Share some images. I'm going to share some pictures, you know, from Autumn Colors, and we'll go from there.
I got some photos and some interviews. We keep everything here at Race
now,
Time Radio.
I got to pull up the hashtag that they used. COVID Colors Classic.
COVID Colors
Hashtag
Classic.
COVID Colors Classic.
There you go.
Use that. That's what Amanda used on the original post.
Sure.
And you know, just you'll be able to check it out.
And I want to urge you to make plans for 2021 at this time of the year. Check it out. Try and make plans to make it to Autumn Colors Classic Weekend at Peterborough Speedway. You won't be disappointed, I can tell you that. So many good races at the end of the year that, you know, all of us can take in. That is definitely one that you want to check out. But you know what? We are getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to throw it back to Toronto. That's going to be it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. We surely appreciate your ears and jumping on this program. We want to welcome the listeners and thank the listeners from the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com that airs Racetime Radio on a weekly basis. 98.9 XFM, Annie Ganish. We're also available there, Gearhead Country Radio. And, of course, you can always find us on iTunes. Just search Racetime Radio. But the easiest way, absolute easiest way, is keep it tuned right here to SiriusXM Channel 167 Canada Talks. You're never going to miss another Racetime Radio unless we get bounced for a game or something like that. But I think you're in pretty good shape, and we will join you each and every Sunday night right here at 7 p.m. Eastern on Racetime Radio and on SiriusXM. But that's going to do it for us. Next week, Center for Speed is definitely going to be on the list, as well as a pile more We'll see how the week unfolds and how next weekend unfolds, and we'll get to it. But that's it for us tonight. God thanks, Susie. For Joe, I am Joe. We'll see you next Saturday, next Sunday, right here on Race Time.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.